long and healthy life.
Kate Delaney, America Tonight, each and every show. We go inside the Beltway with the true insiders from Talk Radio News. Victoria Jones joins us now. Victoria, I trust you had a great Turkey Day.
I did. I hope you did, too.
I did. Not too much tryptophan. There is something, too, if you just gorge yourself with too much food and turkey, you really do get sleepy.
It's true.
I don't know what happened over Thanksgiving, but Barney Frank decided that he was done. That was it. He wasn't going to run the next time around. And I was thinking about this today, knowing we were going to have this conversation. And my whole adult life and before that, I can't remember not seeing Barney Frank. Did anybody know that this was happening?
I don't think so. I mean, the entire time I've lived in this country, Barney Frank's been in Congress. I mean, he's just an institution as far as I'm concerned. I think it's a result of his district being redrawn. He also says Congress is broken. But I think if his district hadn't been redrawn, he would have gone forward with his plan, which he says was to retire in 2014. But he says that, you know, he doesn't want to deal with 325 new constituents. He would have had to raise money. He might have had a tougher fight. He's 71.
Yeah, time to leave, I guess.
Yeah, why do it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly. You think, because he's been there so long, and he has as many critics as he has, there's as many supporters with someone that's been there that long of a time. And from both parties on the Hill, think he gets a big send-off?
Oh, I think he'll get a big send-off. I mean, I think even though he has critics, he doesn't have critics really for his work.
Right.
Because he's brilliant. I think he's probably the brainiest man on the Hill. I think he's a brilliant man and a brilliant parliamentarian, a brilliant debater. And a wit. We're losing something. We're really missing something. We're going to miss something now that's gone. I don't think there's anybody wishy left on Capitol Hill.
And you don't think, you know, from the public point of view, of course, the one thing that definitely would make him a little bit black and blue would be the Fannie and Freddie stuff.
Right. Fannie and Freddie would make him a little bit black and blue, but I don't think he cares.
Yeah, I don't either. Like you said, he's 71. The redistricting would have meant that he would have had to really push for the reelection. And I think that was it. I think that nothing left in the tank. That's it. I'm done. And kind of a surprise, I guess, but probably not to the people who knew him real well.
Yeah. And, you know, he's got other things to do. He says he's not going to become a lobbyist or a historian.
Wow.
Which I think was a little subtle dig at Newt Gingrich. In fact, it wasn't a subtle dig at Newt Gingrich because he went on to make it a not-so-subtle dig at Newt Gingrich.
Yeah, exactly. So, unlike Clinton, who was singing his praises the other day, not the same thing from Barney Frank when it comes to Newt Gingrich.
Yeah, but, you know, I think Clinton singing Gingrich's praises was very subtle. I think he had a second agenda.
Yeah, because push to make it more confusing with the GOP and kind of sink Romney a little bit.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I think he was doing. I think that Bill Clinton would like to see Gingrich be the nominee.
Right, because really with the Democratic strategists I've talked to, even though a lot of people don't understand this deal with Romney, he is the establishment guy. He knows how to run, and the Democrats are a little bit concerned about Romney.
Yeah, they're concerned about Romney, and he's going to pull in some moderates, and he's going to pull in the independents. He's going to pull in people who think, oh, yeah, he knows business. Well, he knows how to get people fired, but he knows business. And he seems so together,
right.
And he never loses his cool. You put Gingrich up there up against Obama. Gingrich is not a likable guy.
Oh, he'll go for the jugular, absolutely. Yeah, I thought there was something more to that, too. I agree with you. Speaking of something more to it, what's going on with Herman Cain? Now there's this deal about this fact that he could have had a 13-year affair and he denied it. That had to be part of the gossip in Washington today.
Yeah, towards the end of the day, this story starts to come out. And it came out because Herman Cain brought it out, I think under the advice of his lawyer, Lynn Wood, very aggressive attorney. Herman Cain put the story out there on Wolf Blitzer's CNN show, saying that this woman would come forward and would make this allegation, and saying that no, it was not the case, that it was not true. And in fact, he said he'd not had an affair. Is this an affair, Blitzer asked? No, it is not. Was there sex? No. No? No. Well, that's very interesting, because when you get to what Lynn Wood, his lawyer, says, which is that, you know, this is not an accusation of harassment in the workplace. It's not an accusation of an assault, which are subject matters of legitimate inquiry. This is an accusation of private, alleged, consensual conduct between adults. It's not a proper subject of inquiry by the media of the public, and that the boundaries end outside one's bedroom door. And he says he's not going to answer questions. Well, that's not exactly a denial.
Yeah, I agree. And I want to see if anything more drops on this one. I think it's going to be a feeding frenzy probably for the next couple of news cycles at least.
She says she has late-night tweets.
Oh.
Not late-night tweets, late-night texts.
Oh. Yeah, once they come out, talk to a congressman, former congressman Weiner about that. He can tell you all about tweets and anything with social media. Wow. All right, we'll see what happens with that one. One last thing. You were telling me something about Citibank and a PAC getting sunk.
There was a deal made a few weeks ago. The SEC made a deal with Citigroup of $285 million over a mortgage bond deal in which Citigroup did not accept or admit or deny the underlying allegations, in which basically they were very naughty. But they didn't admit or deny it. Well, today, a federal judge in New York threw out this settlement and said that he lacks a framework for determining the adequacy of the deal. He said, basically, that this longstanding policy of allowing consent judgments without admitting or denying the underlying allegation deprives the court of even the most minimal assurance that the substantial injunctive relief it's being asked to impose has any basis in fact. And in fact, he set a trial date for Citigroup.
Ooh.
This is very, very big.
That is very big, absolutely. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News, thanks as always.
Thank you.
All right, Victoria and I kicking it around about Ginger White, by the way, is the Atlanta businesswoman who says she was fooling around with Herman Cain for 13 years. This goes back once again to his job as the president of the National Restaurant Association, that lobbying group, which has been nothing but trouble for Cain. She said they met in the late 90s. When he was making a presentation in Louisville, Kentucky, and he would fly her to cities where he was speaking, give her gifts, that kind of stuff. She told a television station in Atlanta that, saying that it was fun, it was intriguing. He took me away from my humdrum life. He is denying that anything happened there, not that he knew her, but that there was no affair. We're going to talk more about that in this show. Plus, Barney Frank jettisoning. He's the 17th House Dem to announce a retirement this time around. That's compared to seven Republicans. What does it all mean when you mix it up? Coming up next, though, I'm going to introduce you to a guy behind a song that you might remember. Doo-doo-doo. Lion sleeps tonight. Turns out he's got some interesting takes on Occupy movement. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. When we talk about nooks and crannies, the Occupy movement, as we know, I've said this before, you can take almost any city, big or small, and put Occupy in front of it, rather, and that's what we've seen across this country in the last couple of months. I mentioned that I was in New York when the Occupy Wall Street first started to bubble up, and it was very, very small the weekend I was there, and then it exploded, of course, after that. Dennis Marcellino. I don't know if you recognize the name or not. I know you know one of his hit songs, the megawatt hit, The Lion Sleeps Tonight. I can still hear that tune in my head.
Well, oh, sorry.
You hear it, too. I love that. Well, Dennis, there in our virtual green room, is a former member of the Tokens, and, of course, Lion, the Family Stone, and he says he's one of the original hippies. Hey, Dennis, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you.
Well, you know, when you said you were original, we talked earlier in the day, when you said you were original hippie, that's the hippie deal was, I think, kind of chic, and it was a movement unto itself, right? And now people are trying to compare being a hippie with the Occupy movement. Do you think there's any comparison there?
A little bit. I think the Occupy movement, they're more angry, whereas the hippie movement, there was some anger against the war at the time, but it was more like an enlightenment feeling.
More of an enlightenment feeling. Do you think the problem, I don't know, first of all, your feeling when your feelings about the Occupy movement in general, when you saw it start to bubble up, I mentioned I was in New York and it was very, very small, then it got bigger and, of course, exploded, and there were a lot of people, a lot of different opinions about what should be done, it wasn't organized enough, you know, all this other kind of stuff, and trying to kind of wrap their heads around what the Occupy thing was. What were your initial thoughts when you heard about it?
Well, I wasn't too shocked. I mean, I think people are a lot of people are unhappy, you know, with the country the way it's going right now. And that just spilled over into the streets, basically. I mean, like, I had a lot of training in psychology. And in psychology, you don't really look at what a person says. You look at what they're feeling. And you can see a lot of people are very unhappy, or they're just even kind of crazy even. And I think the roots are, though, not exactly, like I say, you know, they have a couple of legitimate complaints, you know, like about the foreign policies and the unfair wages. But I think that they're so unhappy because the country has gotten way off as far as male-female relationships, for one, and inner peace for another. So those are two things that I kind of struggled with when I got in the hippie movement. That's where it really went off. I think before that, I got married in 65, and it was still pretty normal as far as, like, male-female relationships go. You know, you built up to marriage. Everybody looked forward to marriage, and there wasn't a lot of loose sexuality. And so so the families and marriages were pretty safe, whereas now I think it's pretty tough. Too many barriers have been crossed to put together a nice, safe relationship.
Yeah, well, you know what? I agree with you. How do we reverse that? How do we change that?
Well, let's see. It's going to be tough. You know, there's the thing called the Hays Code back then. H-A-Y-S, and that's a good thing to look up on the internet, on Wikipedia, say. And the Hays Code, starting when movies first started happening, there were things that absolutely could not be in any movies or songs or TV shows. But in 1968, it switched over to the rating system that we have now, which is like, you know, PG, PG-13, R, X. And so the big difference there, though, was that in the Hays Code, Hollywood couldn't make, you know, bad movies and bad TV shows. Whereas after the Hays Code with the rating system, they were able to do that. And then it was up to people to decide, you know, whether they were going to, you know, well, curiosity kills the cat, as they say. And people, of course, are going to be curious and want to see the, you know, the R's and the X's and the kids especially too. And parents aren't going to be able to stop their kids from seeing that. So that's the big difference. That was the big moral downturn in the country.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And the whole rating system, too, is very strange. I saw a documentary on how that's done. And, you know, basically you take a group of people, random people are part of the rating system, and you have a lot of films that are held hostage and by the ratings code, and a lot of them that aren't really rated correctly either. So the whole thing's strange.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, very weird. All right, you have a book out called The Solutions, and in the book, you say you can, you have solutions to help diffuse the movement, and you've got a 10-phase plan that would guarantee, and I love this part, eliminating unemployment. Boy, the people listening to you and I talk right now in America tonight, across America, this is such a big thing that we talk about on the show. People call in and they tell us their stories and what they've done and whether they had PhDs or no education but worked themselves to death and how rough it really is out there. And I think there's a disconnect in Washington to what's really happening in the country. I don't know that the politicians, or at least a bunch of them, the majority of them, realize just how awful it is out there. So give us your solutions.
Okay. Well, you know, yeah, part of it is what you just said, the ivory tower is D.C. You know, they have no sensitivity to what people are going through. But if they did, I mean, I do have a way that this could all be solved. There's 10 phases, and one of the phases is something called workfare. This is something that's worked in Australia and India and Canada. And basically, the government's just putting out money now on all these, you know, like unemployment and welfare and food stamps and all that. Whereas what they should do is they should have corporations, government corporations or supported private corporations, that would guarantee people to be able to show up and earn this money. You know, that's just one part of it. Now, and plus they'd have to be, they can't be things like, you know, what Obama's suggesting, which is, you know, fixing highways and stuff like that. No, they'd have to be things that actually bring money back in. So that actually does not only solves the unemployment problem, but it solves the federal debt problem too.
Yeah. Boy, I agree with you there. And you see this deficit, isn't it crazy? It's really closer to $15 trillion. And then I said this, you know, you get this super committee, and it already was had problems going into it because they put super in front of committee, and I would have never jumped on a committee in Washington that had super in front of it. And, of course, it didn't work. It blew up. And then, you know, the anger sort of is diverted there. But nothing is accomplished. It's crazy. I mean, can they cut spending? That has to be part of this equation.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're so ideologically attached and detached from the public because they're all millionaires.
Yeah.
So that's really unfortunate. They don't really care about people. They just care about their own trip that they're on.
Yeah.
And promoting that. So that's
Well, I agree with you. Yeah. What was the best thing about being a hippie?
Oh, what was the best thing? Well, you know, there was two sides to the hippie movement. There was the organic side and there was the hedonistic side. And the hedonistic side was bad because that's the drug overdoses and the STDs and all that not good stuff. But the organic side was great because it kind of just opened us up to spirituality for one, something, you know, that we hadn't even ever considered before, but that started coming over from India and the Beatles kind of brought it in to really seriously think about spirituality. And then, you know, being into organic and healthy eating and lack of vanity and just, you know, getting natural peace and love, you know, that's what the hippies said. So that side of it was really inspiring.
The lion sleeps tonight. What, I can't let you fly without asking you about that. Did you think that when that song came out, did the band think that was going to be such a big hit that it would still carry on and people would, like I said, have that tune running in their head?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, in those days, the songs that were popular were about romance. And so The Lion Sleeps Tonight, well, actually, The Lion Sleeps Tonight was side B on the 45. The side A was Tina, and it was about a girl named Tina.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like with the way we say it in the show, you know, luckily everybody played the other side of the record. And starting with one DJ in Massachusetts, which is something that doesn't happen anymore now. It's very conglomerate, the whole radio industry. So,
oh, yeah, we could do a whole show on that, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Yes, sadly, and you know, as being a musician, was it fun touring as part of the Tokens, and of course with Sly and the Family Stone?
Oh yeah, I mean it was. I mean, we were touring with all the top acts, you know, like, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis, and one day I walked into my dressing room and Mick Jagger and John Lennon were there, and you know, I met and really and worked with and was friends with, you know, most of the big acts.
Yeah, boy, I bet you got to do another book on that, too. You got the solution.
Yeah, I've got a lot of movie footage, too, that I took.
Oh, you got to put that together. Definitely,
yeah.
Definitely. Come back on this show and talk about that as well. Hey, if somebody wants to get the solutions, because you gave us one, where can they pick it up?
www.theoptimumpoliticalsolutions.com.
I love it. Dennis Morsellino, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP Brick Packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Burglars love easy targets, like a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television, so from outside it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, comes with AC adapter, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and give one or more for Christmas. Now through Christmas, get free standard shipping on any quantity fake TV purchase. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. Faketv.com, the burglar deterrent.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Cranky Tuesday. I say Cranky Tuesday because apparently everybody was shopping on Thanksgiving, on Black Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then, oh yeah, they were exhausted, stayed home, or they were at work, busy on the computer, ordering things because it was Cyber Monday. Big deals, lots of sales, and they think they're going to have record online sales this year for Amazon, Apple stuff, you know, anything. Think of the games. It's huge. And really any company now, you get anything online, whether it's Target or Walmart or whoever, there's the online way to order goods, overstock, you know, name a place, and you can get it online. So were there blowout numbers? We don't know yet, but it certainly is looking that way. And speaking of being exhausted, I wonder if the people around Herman Cain are exhausted coming up with a defense for Cain. It's going to be pretty tough to continually deflect allegation after allegation after allegation. This time, what's interesting is you have a woman, I mentioned her name before, Ginger White, who's an Atlanta businesswoman, who said she used to travel with him. He would just call her up and say, meet me in this city, meet me here, whatever, because he had a lot of money as the president of the Restaurant Association, of this National Restaurant Association. And he was flying around speaking, and he would fly her in, and she said it was exciting. And she's got some text messages and phone bills to document her relationship with Cain, including, are you ready for this? As recently as September. So Lynn Wood, who's the attorney for Cain, is the deflector. He's chief deflector for Cain's campaign, and he's saying the allegations of these private alleged consensual conduct that was going on between adults is not a proper subject of inquiry by the media or the public. Victoria mentioned it at the top of this hour, which is ridiculous. Can't have it both ways. And once you're running for president, sorry, everything's fair game. And especially if we keep seeing these things that are falling out of the closet, especially this situation. If he's portraying himself as a happily married, faithful man, whatever it is, 43 years to his wife, and he's flying a woman around, and she's got phone bills and text messages and everything else to prove it, I think it's going to be hard to live this one down, especially 13 years. And this goes back to the NRA. I could come up with a really good joke here, but the NRA, talk about getting shot down. Unfortunately, it's the National Restaurant Association that we're talking about here. So his wife, when she was told about this, said, oh, here we go again. She's standing by this and says, you know, in my soul, I don't think he's that kind of person. She was doing a thing with On the Record with Greta Van Susteren. So she's saying that their marriage wasn't perfect. There have been troubles, but that they've been together for 43 years like anyone else. They've had their share of ups and downs, but does not. This is not the kind of guy that he is. You wonder at what point will he step away? At what point does he step away, especially if those emails start to come out and all that stuff? I mean, really, how high is he on the list of anybody's radar of getting elected on the Republican side of things as this sideshow continues? And the answer is no. That just sinks the battleship completely for Kane getting elected, I think, unless there's a way to discredit her to say that it's absolutely nonsense and crap and a smokescreen or whatever, and to say that we can prove that this is all baloney. But I have a feeling that she's going to have lots of proof, because I don't think she came forward with flimsy evidence of that relationship. Then my question becomes, how does this all come out? You know, is this another 15 minutes of fame? Is this, I'm tired of him saying that he hasn't done this, this, and that? It seemed like in the interview that I saw, she was just talking about it kind of like Jennifer Flowers talked about Bill Clinton, that how they hooked up and, you know, gee, he was great, gave me gifts, whatever. Sounded like kind of a similar thing. He's saying she's someone, and this is Kane, he's saying she's someone who I know, who's an acquaintance, who I thought was a friend. That's the weird part, who I thought was a friend, and then sent out a statement later saying it was another example of dirty politics and smear tactics and evidence that some people are afraid of a Kane presidency. I don't know. Handicap it for me, folks. What do you think? Scale of 1 to 10, what are the chances of Herman Cain getting the Republican nomination? I'd say he's gone from 999 to 111. I think they're pretty low at this point, unless there's a way to completely discredit that. If there's a way to say the texts are false, this is false, but I don't think so. I just don't feel like this is something that's false that's being said here. If they prove it is, then he really would have a leg to stand on, because he could say, see, look at, here we go again. Something comes out. This is absolutely not true, and I can prove it because X, Y, Z, here's where I was, here's who I was with. That's not true, but with the phone numbers and all that other stuff, man, going to be hard-pressed to do that. All right, to be sure, in this mix of odds and ends here, there are a couple of other things of interest, I think, that are going on around the country. One, sickening enough, what's happening with these sexual molestation cases. We'll give you an update quickly on the Penn State thing as we're eyeballing this. The Second Mile charity that was founded by Jerry Sandusky said that, you know, they asked donors on Monday to give money instead to a different Pennsylvania charity, because now it's been this charity, pretty much this nonprofit that was iconic, is sinking like you wouldn't believe. It's dropped to the bottom of the pile, I think, of nonprofits. And, of course, it's because of what's happened with Sandusky with the child molestation charges. And there's more people that are coming forward, and they're vetting through all of that. And his attorney continues to say that it's not it's nonsense and that's not true. And we go back to the whole horseplay thing, the interview that came out a couple of weeks ago, that it was a week ago, that it was just horseplay and taking showers is what jocks do. And, you know, come on, give me a break there. So in the wake of all of that, then you have the scandal at Syracuse and you have a Hall of Fame coach whose assistant had to be fired because he was part of the crew for 32 years. And they're saying, you know, who stayed quiet about what was going on at Syracuse with the basketball team? Jim Boeheim, whose program is now just like Penn State, is being rocked by the assistant coach Bernie Fine, is holding a news conference following the home game against Eastern Michigan University because he feels like, you know, so many people are asking questions that he's going to let them fire away and he's going to address things. I think that's it. He's not, I can't imagine he's sticking just to the game. From what somebody told me at Syracuse, that it looked like he was going to try to hit this head on because they fired Fine on Sunday. He's the target of a grand jury investigation into accusations that he molested a former ball boy and at least another boy and another boy as well. So three by this count so far. And you think 35 years, and Jim Boeheim was his boss basically for 35 years. I don't know, how does that get under the radar? Are these sexual pedophile deviant guys just that clever that happens and nobody has any idea what's going on? Nobody has any clue that something's just a little bit off? And this is the same thing you come back to. Who knew what when? Did anyone know anything? Did they share this information with anyone? And already, the state police in New York and the Secret Service did a search warrant at his house on Friday, and they're saying that the federal involvement could indicate just how serious the possible crimes are. So, boy, that makes you think, doesn't it? What else was this guy hiding? What other kind of seedy, sick things might have been going on? And this entire time, I mean, I know who this guy is. I think I've probably talked to him maybe twice, just in passing, at Syracuse games, covering Syracuse in a tournament situation. Because he was always, he was right there with Jim Boeheim the entire time. Any picture with Boeheim, you'd see him in the background. He has to just be, let's hope he's completely shocked and has no clue, is what I'm assuming. And just that when somebody, it goes this deep, they know how to hide it. What is going on at these universities? What is happening with football and basketball programs and kids that come into these situations, whether they're kids near the program or they're being preyed on in a Sandusky-like situation because of a charity and because of the awe of this huge university? Background checks? Doesn't anything come up with the background checks? Is anyone else just thoroughly disgusted by what we're seeing now? I mean, how much more will be exposed? How many more dominoes will fall? I mean, this is a nightmare. I think this is a nightmare for university systems. Is it some covering up secrets and nobody wants to spill the beans because it's money, power, and all of that? It's a grab bag of, ooh, we can't be exposed for this because this will topple our program or hurt recruits. And I think Syracuse maybe gets dented by this. You have to wait and see what Boeheim has to say. I'm almost certain that he has no clue that this was happening, and that's what he's going to also say when he gets before the microphones, that he didn't have any idea what was happening. What do you think the university should do? What kind of screening process do they need to do with these assistants? Are they don't have these kids in these one-on-one situations whatsoever? Now you have to be chaperoned around coaches. Ah, awful. 800-259-5791 if you want to throw in your two.
More than 90% of Americans are simply unprepared for even the most likely emergencies. Even common occurrences like snowstorms, tornadoes, hurricanes, or simple power outages can make it difficult for you to simply feed your family. To help you become prepared for any emergency situation, Ready Reserve Foods has prepared a free report entitled The Prepared Citizen's Guide to Emergency Food Supplies, How to Ensure Your Family is Protected and Nourished in Times of Emergency. In addition to this incredible free report, Ready Reserve Foods has prepared 11 family protection videos that you can watch for free at our website, ReadyReserveFoods.com. That's right. You can keep your family informed and prepared for any emergency by simply visiting ReadyReserveFoods.com and watching our 11 family protection videos and downloading the Prepared Citizen's Guide to Emergency Food Supplies, all for free. Visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. That's ReadyReserveFoods.com. ReadyReserveFoods.com.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alii-C. Why Alii-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alii-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alii-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alii-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alii-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alii-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alii-C. For more information and to order Alii-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alii-C today.
Hey folks, this is Crazy Melvin for eFoods Direct, and I'm slashing prices to get you the best deals on your food supply. Call now and save, save, save on a 25-year food supply that can save your life when disaster strikes, because it will strike and it will smack you right upside the head, so keep...
Wait a minute, Melvin. I know eFoods Direct, and they're not full of hype like you. eFoods Direct goes to great lengths to ensure you get the best ingredients, full of nutrition and flavor. They are the real deal. Melvin, you're right about one thing, though. For Black Friday weekend, eFoods will save you 30% off anything on their website at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Now, that's a deal with no hype. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and save 30% off your entire order. This deal only lasts through Monday, November 20th. So call now. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Remember, 30% off this Black Friday weekend. Leave the hype to Crazy Melvin, because you can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
Christmas tree, thy leaves are so unchanging. Oh Christmas tree, thy leaves are so unchanging. Not only green when summer's here, but also when it's cold and drear. Oh Christmas tree, thy leaves are so unchanging.
Yes, right in the middle of the debate over whether or not Kane will hang around and what are his chances, as I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, we thought we'd throw in a little Christmas music, because there is a raging debate, bigger than Kane, bigger than all this other stuff that's going on, over artificial or real. Which are you? Are you artificial? Or are you a real Christmas tree owner? Turns out that we sparked some controversy as I got many emails. Gathered them today after I woke up, and I got 21, no joke, emails. I thought everybody was asleep coming back from Thanksgiving, but 21 emails, some of them pretty simple, just on whether or not they had an artificial tree or were getting one, or they were getting a real tree or had always had a real tree and were going the artificial route. And I hate the artificial tree thing. I hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it. I mean, good for the people who create the artificial trees because they're stimulating their own little economy, and most of them, I shouldn't say that, I'm going to have to start looking, but a lot of them that I've seen are made in America, probably not all of them. So that's good. But so are the trees that are being cut down, grown on Christmas tree ranches to be sold to Americans at the holiday time, right? And to me, it's a huge marking of the holiday. It's one of those cool things that you do. You go, you pick the tree, you hassle with each other and family and putting it up, and is it straight or what's wrong with it, or, you know, a series of things that you have to do once you get the tree up and then the dog smashes into it or the baby grabs the balls off the tree. Or you worry about all these other things about the tree. But I think that's part of the fun of it. So at the White House, they got a 19-foot balsam fir from Wisconsin. That was the official tree this time around. On Wednesday, it's a big deal at Rockefeller Plaza because they'll have the official lighting of the real Christmas tree there. That's going to be a big one, too. I think that's at least 19 feet tall, if I'm not mistaken, at least. It could be even a little bit bigger than that. And what I love that they do is that they mulch the thing and then they spread it out over some of the park. So they're recycling the tree for everybody who wants to gripe about chopping down a tree. I'm sorry, guys. If you have to wipe up a few branches and some needles and you just have to keep watering the thing, I just don't go the artificial route. I don't get it. Some of you absolutely disagree with me. Like, I got this one here from Mikey, and he says, "Yo, Delaney." I'm thinking, do I know this guy? "Yo, Delaney, what's up with bagging on the artificial trees? It's a good way to prevent family arguments. It's reusable. So you haul it in and out of the attic. That's it. You make sure it's straight. You put the ornaments on. And da-da, you're done. Not a fire hazard. Don't have to worry. It's such a pain in the arse to go and get a Christmas tree. When I was a kid, we did the real thing. I'm all for the phony thing. That's my two." Okay, first of all, Mikey, I love that you picked up on a lot of what I say. I noticed some of the words that he threw out there. That's pretty cool, so I give you the thumbs up for it. So you just didn't like the hassle when you were younger of having to go do the tree thing. And you decided that it wasn't for you anymore. You were going to do the artificial deal. Here's another one we got. This one from John, who says, "I vote for real trees all the time. Yeah, it might be inconvenient. Yeah, it might cost you a little bit more money in the long run, but it sure is a fun family activity. We did it when I was younger. I heard you tell the story about your family, and I've done it with my children. I can't imagine their faces if I said we were going to Walmart to buy a tree. To me, they look tacky. I agree." So you can weigh in, like all the others who already have, and we'll see where it falls. Artificial versus real. We'll do this for the week. We'll continue through the week to see where we end up. Do more people really get the artificial trees? Are they shelling out the $200? Or you can get one for less than that. You know, somewhere a good one, I think, is $230, something in that neighborhood. And it depends on how big it is and all that. Or are you of the real variety, like I am, where you go out and get the spruce, you pick it out, you go look at it, or whatever kind you want, and it's a big deal. You walk up and down the lot, you look for a full tree, and you go through the whole thing of putting the tree on the car and bagging it up, and yeah, I got too many good memories of that. So I'm doing that till, I said this the other night, I'm doing this till I draw my last breath. And Matt Johnson says that his family's all about the artificial tree. And let me tell you, if I lived up near them in Minnesota, how do you live in Minnesota, which is, of course, where our studio is, the mothership, how do you live in Minnesota and not have a real tree? That doesn't make sense to me. Minnesota, when you have a real tree there, then they have tons of real Christmas trees. I would think it'd be a cinch to get easy to just get a tree there. So I can't imagine in some of these places, the Wisconsins, the Michigans, the Minnesotas, as I mentioned, how easy it would be. Certainly for many of you listening to us in Oregon, that's the land of beautiful trees, and Washington. And you're also providing stimulation for the economy because you're helping the tree people, the tree growers. You know, when I got my tree last year, I talked to the guy who said he comes down with his brother to Texas every year, and they have a couple of different lots, and this is where they make their money. They make a lot of money because they go through the farm, take all the trees down, somebody's stationed at different places, and they target different areas of the country, and this was one of the places that they come, and it's a big deal to them. And I kind of like that. So they're growing the trees, cutting them down, then keeping in the family, they are selling them. Throw in your two on this. I want to see where we go. AmericaTonight.net. Click on the email, and you are in artificial or real. Which is the better option? I'm really rooting for real. I'm rooting for real. And I mentioned this before. Real or not, Herman Cain, it is a big story again because he's denying that anything happened here. She's saying she has text messages. She has phone messages. You know, she has proof of meeting him on the road. So I think it's going to be tough to wiggle out of this. I think it's going to be hard to get out of this. And even his lawyer with a kind of crazy statement about consensual and, you know, pretty much winding it into, is this really anyone's business? And the answer is yes, because everybody else is going through the same scrutiny. And since that's the way it is, unless we don't care, we don't live in France. And so Americans do care about that, at least enough of them that will sink you. I think that his campaign will go in a much different direction. And you see Newt Gingrich already is topping so many of the polls. We have a long way to go. Let's face it, there are a lot of debates to be had. The Iowa caucuses are coming up in January, then New Hampshire's primary. It's primary season. This thing goes all the way to June. I've already said this. It's obvious. There's not going to be a clear front runner, I don't think, until start to emerge a little bit more in the spring. But by June, somebody clearly will start to fall away from the pack, because in August, you've got the Republican convention in Tampa, and then it's a done deal at that point. So is it going to be Mitt Romney? Is he going to be the guy? Or will it be Newt Gingrich? Or somebody else somehow emerge, start to become the flavor of the month, and something different that takes us all by surprise happens in the end? And then it's going to be interesting to see who is the VP candidate, but it depends on who's the presidential candidate before you start worrying about the VPs, I think.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Bueller. Oh, no. We woke up the mama.